Luke's Gospel 24. All right. He told me yesterday that Concord is out of juice. So, what speed do I use now? Since Concord is out of use. Luke's Gospel 24, 25 to 27. I pray. Father, we ask and receive wisdom, revelation, knowledge of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for opening our understanding to understand the scriptures this morning as we walk in our rights and privileges found in Christ and we behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Luke's Gospel 24, we're looking at the prophets, the law and the prophets, the series we started sometimes last year or 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Was last year 2 years ago? Last year. Alright, thank you. Excuse me. And he said unto them, 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, that means we've been studying on why the scriptures are written. And that means the scriptures were not written for obedience or for to make you holy and all those kind of things. The scriptures were written for faith. Faith. To believe. Pistuo means to believe, to rely upon where you got faith from. So the scriptures were written for faith. Not to demand. The scriptures are not a code of conduct. Where we say commandments of the Lord. You know, some folks say, commandments. That's what's in their mind. But they're written to believe. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says to believe. In the first place, we'll find the word to believe. Because since we're reading the Old Testament. Because this is about the Old Testament. This is Matthew. Sorry, that's Matthew. This is Genesis to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation. No, Genesis to Malachi. The first place you see it is in Genesis 15, verse 6. And that was Abraham. You can turn there. Genesis 15, 6. And Abraham believed in the Lord. Genesis 15, 6. Because Jesus said the scriptures were before faith. Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. He counted it for him righteousness. The word to believe there is the word aman. Used 108 times in the Hebrews, in the Hebrew letters. That's the Old Testament. It means to rely on a report. Now, I thought I mixed up a word. And I think, I'm not sure I didn't. I'm not sure I did. But in case I did, just correct this. And a man is always a result of Shemua. A man is not the believing. A man is not the report. A man is the believing. Shemua is a S-H-E-M-U-A-H. Used for the report. So a report comes to you. In other words, a message. Alright. 27 times in Hebrew. The Hebrew of the Bible. That's the Old Testament. It's a message. Every time you hear the word aman or the word shemua, it's not something that you see. For example, what color, or you asked me something about what I saw, I said, I saw it. I don't believe what I saw. Where faith needs to come in is when I hear something. Or to believe means I heard something. That's why shemua comes relevant, because it's a report. That means you were not there and you heard about it and then you believed in it. Something you had not seen, but you believed in it. So Abraham believed in the Lord. As we look at Proverbs 25, verse 25, what kind of report is it? Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed a man our Shemua? Who has believed our report? Isaiah 53 verse 1. And we concluded that the word our report means that the report of all the prophets. Remember that? Okay. So what is common to all the prophets is the message. The message, the Shemua. What's it? Look at Proverbs 25:25. As good news. Oh, I like that. As good news is, as cold water. I think my speed this morning is going to run ahead of myself. So I've got to be relaxed. Proverbs 25:25. As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from where? A far country. That is real. That is, a far country, you heard something not from where you are. Good news from a far country, Shemua. For example, what did Abraham believe in? Lord, we found that Abraham believed in the promise of Jesus. A far country. And that was faith. Abraham believed in the Lord. So, as good news is, or as a cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. So faith is the reason for the prophets. So we can say that Genesis to Malachi contains the word of faith. Genesis to Malachi contains the message of faith. The word of faith. Hallelujah. Are you still there? The word of faith. The Old Testament was not important. It can make you holy or scare you about God. I was talking to folks yesterday. Some of you were not around. We were teaching on salvation. And I said that sometimes your mind interplays with real meaning of words. If you read the Old Testament, it says, keep my commandments. The word keep either means to put something in the locker, put it in the bank, or under the chair. But in your mind, it's to do. Hallelujah. You know, that's really what comes up to your mind. If I say, keep this key for me, you put it in your pocket. How come you here keep my commandments and you want to act on it? Just letting you see something. We'll look at that later. So you hear the message, the word of faith. The word of faith is where? Is in the Old Testament. To believe all that the prophet has spoken. Now go to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Remember, I have to clarify this. The word now here is not now faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. The truth of the matter is, the faith he's talking about here was not a now thing. A preacher was talking to me and he said, we're discussing scriptures. So he wanted to ask about favor. And then we discussed the favor Jesus had with man in Luke's Gospel 2:52, and I tried to clear that for him in explaining that verse of scripture. So he was a bit surprised. He said, you mean, well, what the Bible says is that if a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make all his enemies to be at peace with him. So that doesn't work for us. It didn't work for Jesus. He said, but are you saying that the scriptures do not work? And that the person speaking is in the Old Testament. So the enemies be at peace with who? So the Bible says he put all the enemies under his feet. That's no peace, that's crushing. So he said, I don't understand. I said, you need to read things in context. Hallelujah. I said, can't we have some favor? Favor. Because I think someone is of favor this week. So I think I bust his balloon. He said, well, can't we just ask for favor all the time? I said, it's not possible. He said, why? He said, the Bible already tells you that the world hates you. And friendship with the world is enmity with God. He says, on the phone. Then he says, but the Bible says, all things are possible to him that believes. I said, like me being the husband of your wife. I always like to use that part because it gets men, you know, hedgy. He's smiling, you know. I wasn't talking to you. You know, I'm going, he said, no, not like that. I said, oh, good, great. So all things are not possible, right? I said, can I be the savior of the world? I said, that's not possible. I said, exactly. So I say, all these things are possible to him that believe. What are the things? In context, what was he saying? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is me. Well, that involves many things and does not involve so many things. Hallelujah. I don't want to tell you what it cannot involve. Hallelujah. Because in context, he said, I know how to abase, I know how to abound. I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. So Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, or better say, therefore faith is the substance of things hoped for, referring to the Old Testament, and the evidence of things not seen. So, in fact, what they're referring to is the resurrection of Jesus. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance, there are two words there, substance and evidence. Substance is the word hypostasis, H-U-P-O, S-T-A-S-T-A-S-I-S, hypostasis. Hypostasis means assurance. To tell you something will happen. To tell you something will happen. Persuasion. You see it in these books, in these places. 2 Corinthians 9:4. 2 Corinthians 11:17. 2 Corinthians 9:4. 2 Corinthians 11:17. Then Hebrews 1:3. Talking about Jesus being the substance of the unseen God. Hebrews 1:3. Where we see him, we know he exists. That's what it means. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 3:14 also uses the word substance, assurance. So you can say, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, hypostasis was used in, and the thing is this, it was used in everyday, you know, when you see language, there are many ways to look at language. Number one, you look at the first thing is you look at the meaning. The meaning, original meaning of it, grammatically, linguistic-wise, assurance. Then again, you look at how is it applied in everyday usage. For example, the ways the Greeks used it, they'll use it a whole lot of times for acquiring property. So, when someone sells something to you like a land, he gives you an assurance, like a title deed. He doesn't bring the land to your house. So he gives you a title deed, something to hold on to let you know that it's yours. Alright. So it just uses everyday language in the Greek. Now, their faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means their faith was the evidence that what they had not seen will become theirs. Or his theirs. So faith, talking about the Old Testament, the substance of things hoped for, like a title deed of a possession. So all that Christ did became theirs as a possession. How? By faith. By faith. And the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for. What exactly had they not seen? Because he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. Hebrews 12:2. So remember where we started from, the scriptures testify of him, and he's the word of faith. Okay? So whatever brought faith in the Old Testament must have been about who? Him. Because he's the author and finisher of what? Faith. Hebrews 12:2. Okay? So what exactly were they hoping for? We have to see it in Hebrews. Hebrews 1:3. Who by himself, after he had purged himself of our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. What were they looking for? What were they hoping for? Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. Purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. What were they hoping for? Hebrews 2:9. Who was middling lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became for him by all things, and by him were all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Hebrews 1, sorry, 2 again. Hebrews 2, 17. Wherefore in all things is behold him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and high, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You know, let me ask you. When this was said to them, you know, these folks that are in Hebrews 11, they never saw this happen. But they believed in it. So this is what they believe. I'm reading to you what they believe before it happened. They believe this. Hebrews 2, 17. What else did they believe? They believe Hebrews 3, 1. The apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. They believe Hebrews 4:14. A high priest passed into the heavens, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They believe Hebrews 4:15 is our high priest. That's taught by the feeling of our infirmities. They believe Hebrews 5:9. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by things he suffered. And being made perfect, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Hebrews 5:9. They believe that. They believe Hebrews 6:20. Whither the foreigner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. They believe that. They believe Hebrews 7:22. So by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. They believe Hebrews 7:25. He's also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. They believe Hebrews 8. And then verse 1, we have an high priest who is set on the right hand at the throne of the majesty in the heavens. They believe Hebrews 8:6, he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much is the mediator of a better covenant which was established upon better promises. They believe Hebrews 9:11, being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, goats, and cows, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. They believe Hebrews 9:14. How much shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? They believe Hebrews 9:15. For this cause is the mediator of a new covenant, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. They believe Hebrews 9:14. Christ entered not into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God for us. They believe Hebrews 9:26, that then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. They believe Hebrews 9:28. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What else do they believe? Hebrews 10:10. That by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. How many times now? Once. Hallelujah. They believe Hebrews 10:12. That this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For man is for expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. So they saw that before it happened. Are you there? And then they had an assurance. Glory to God. And that's what happened. So that's the Jesus they saw. And God communicated that to them by the word. So the word of all these things is what brings faith. They became heirs by looking forward to what Jesus will do. Do you notice that? What I will do does not bring faith. What I'll do doesn't require faith. That's works. It's what someone else does that I have to believe. So faith will come when we read the Old Testament and we're not talking about the people. That's a well. You stiff-necked people, there's no faith in that. That's condemnation. 16 steps. There's no faith in that. But when I hear, and he shall. Hallelujah. That's faith. I just have to believe that. So faith will come, or faith is in what he will do for us. So when I open the Old Testament books, I must know where faith is, I know where faith is not. Do you understand that? Because faith is in the promise of Christ. I must know where faith is. I know where faith is not. Hebrews. Christ, watch this now, has to explain. So, in that Luke's Gospel 24, remember, Jesus was expounding to them the things concerning himself. Because if it's not about him, you can't find faith there. If it's about you or another personality, you find faith. No, you find faith. Faith is found in him. Because Romans 10, 17 says, faith is by hearing the message of Christ. And you see, when Paul wrote that in Romans 10, 17, he was talking about the Old Testament. Faith is by hearing the message of Christ. Hallelujah. So, faith is by, and the first time we hear about faith in the Bible, we hear about faith because it's talking about Christ. Go to Romans 10, 17. Let's see it. Hallelujah. You find faith cometh. Word cometh, not in the original, it's not a bad word, but we can do without it. Faith is by hearing, Romans 10, 17. And hearing, I better say, faith is by hearing, and hearing. Stop reading the Bible like that. Faith, so then faith, by hearing. Because they who have believed that report. So he's saying, faith is by the report. Because that's exactly what Isaiah is saying. A man and Shemua, remember that? Faith is, that is when I hear something, then faith comes. I need to believe what I hear. So, faith is by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. The gospel. Romans 1:16. So, where is this gospel? When Paul wrote this letter, where is this gospel? In the Old Testament. Right? In fact, the scripture he quoted was from a prophet, Isaiah. So, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed, are you there? Of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Firstly, that's primarily the Jews and then the Greeks. For therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Hallelujah. Watch this. Salvation is righteousness. Salvation is righteousness. Or the gift of righteousness. Salvation is not writing your name in heaven. Or asking someone to write it down for you. You don't even know what they wrote. Salvation is righteousness. Glory to God. For therein is the righteousness of God, the word there's properliness, dikosune in the Greek, D-I-K-A-I-S-U-N-E, dikosune. Now dikosune is from two words, dika, D-I-K, means approval, is used for a judicial approval. When a judge says you're okay, you've not done anything wrong. Then sune is a state, or display of it. Dikosune, righteousness. Hallelujah. So in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it is preached, God's righteousness is offered to you. Are you still there? God's righteousness is offered to you. Because the first time in the Bible where the word believed was used, not the first time faith was expressed, but when the word belief was used, Genesis 15:6 was Abraham, and what was it about? Righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. So faith is primarily in scripture for what? Righteousness. I believe, now I'm justified. Genesis 15:6. So, righteousness. They are consuming. Now, the word righteousness, I want to study that a little bit this morning. The word righteousness. Because if you read the Old Testament, just like Paul said in Romans 10, verse 3, there are those who establish their own righteousness, not the righteousness which is of faith. We'll see that soon. Now, the word righteousness was used in the four Gospels 8 times. 8 times. Matthew 3:15 at the baptism of John. Matthew 3:15, to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to fulfill all that is required. Matthew 3:15. Then Matthew 5:6. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Matthew 5:20. The righteousness of the Pharisees. That's a difficult one. Then, in Matthew 6:33, you know, in Matthew 3:15, to fulfill all righteousness, there are hunger and thirst after righteousness. It doesn't describe what righteousness is. But in Matthew 5:20, it mentions the righteousness of who? The Pharisees. That means righteousness has to be defined. Obviously, when it says to fulfill all righteousness, to John, he's not saying God's righteousness. Now, look at Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word first means only. Not the other things, then seek other things. In fact, it says, don't seek other things. Seek ye only the righteous, the kingdom of God, and what? His righteousness. So, that's the closest Jesus preached the righteousness of God by faith. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of the rest, Najara. You know the song? Najara, oh, Najara, Najara, oh. The song of the 80s. The kingdom of God and the rest, and the righteousness of the rest, Najara. Najara, oh, Najara, Najara, oh. Hallelujah. Of all of this. So, he never defined what it was. He just said, is righteousness. Then Matthew 21:32. John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. So really, it's only Matthew 6:33 that is the closest. Because we're going to discover in a moment that we have different kinds of righteousness. There are some righteousness that some churches have. You get it? To be a member of a church, I saw it somewhere. Number one, you have to be truly born again. Whatever that means, I don't know. Truly born again. Then they said, number two, you have to be baptized with water. Number two. Number three, you have to be a regular tither. That is their own righteousness. Praise the Lord. That was a far one. But look at Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah 64:6. Whatever Isaiah was saying here, I just wonder, really. One day we'll look at it more anyway. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. You know, Isaiah says, all our righteousness, all our trying to do right, as what? Filthy rags. That word filthy is for menstrual cloth. He said, but Isaiah is demolishing the Lord Moses without Jesus coming. Because in chapter 54, verse 17, he said earlier, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rise against me in judgment shall I condemn. So this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Then he says something that's unique. Their righteousness is of me. Hallelujah. What are you talking about? So it makes a distinction between his righteousness is of me, means I gave it to them. And then their own righteousness, trying to be cool. Their righteousness is of me. So, he says our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. Menstrual cloth. Now, menstrual cloth in the old covenant is something that they didn't take near the temple. Praise God. Go to Romans 10:3. So that means in the books of the Bible, you will find God's righteousness and you will find man's righteousness. That is, man wants to get approval from God and God giving his approval to man. You follow that? Man wants to get his approval from God and God giving his approval to man. Two different things. You're going to find that in the books of the prophets. Watch this. Romans 10. Let us read that together. Romans 10 verse 1. Let's go. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. I'll wait for you. You there now? So let's go. Brethren, you can't be there and talking like that. Let's go together. Let's go. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So we have two kinds of righteousness. One is our own kind of righteousness. And we have a whole lot of them today. And God's righteousness. Look at verse 4. For Christ, everybody, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Glory to God. So, the righteousness of the law is that of man. Look at verse 5. For Moses, let's take verse 5 together, describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them, that is going to be by your works. Look at verse 6. Hallelujah. Look at it now. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's to bring Christ down from above. And who shall descend into the deep? What is it? To bring up Christ again from the dead. But what seeth it? Let's take verse 8 again. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's take 10 together. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Have you seen the difference now? One says by your actions. One says by your faith. Hallelujah. So you will find the two in the Old Testament. The two. So, are they both the gospel? No. Are they both about Christ? No. So when you read the Old Testament, the book of the prophet, you will see the righteousness which is of faith. And you see the one which is of the law. You must know the difference. It's in the books. So in John 16, remember, Jesus mentioned righteousness. I kind of mixed that up. 8 times. So we have 2 more times. So in John 16, talking about his death, he says, and when verse 8, and when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Hallelujah. He's saying he will convince you of me. I go to my Father. So that means he's telling you that he becomes your righteousness. Hallelujah. So Jesus, you know, he didn't say so much about it, but he said much that he didn't say. So righteousness is of him. His righteousness. Pay attention here. The book of Acts has it about four times, I think. Four times. The book of Acts, four times. Acts 10:35. Though not definite. Acts 13:10. Acts 17:31. Acts 24:23. Acts 13:10 is not too nice. I want to say enemy of righteousness. That's not too bad. Not too good. Acts 17:31. Acts 24:25. No, have nothing to do with the gift of righteousness. But in the book of Romans, righteousness is mentioned 39 times. So there's no way you can understand righteousness without reading the book of Romans. And the book of Romans just told us it's by what? Faith. 39 times. The book of Romans. Hallelujah. 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Christ has been made unto us what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. See, Christ has made unto me righteousness. Now every time they are preaching this, where are they preaching from? The Old Testament. Christ has been made unto us righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake unto righteousness and sing not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, if it is awake unto righteousness, that will be the righteousness which is where? In Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. You learning something here? Second Corinthians 3. Alright. Verse 9. He's making a distinction between the Old Testament and New Testament. And he says, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory. Are you there? Much more that the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So, he says, the new covenant ministers what? Righteousness. It gives you righteousness. The Old Testament ministers what? Condemnation. Because it's going to demand righteousness. But a new covenant gives you righteousness. Say, I have received. No, doesn't it? Say what? Say, I have received God's righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at verse chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him sin for us who knew no sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What happens? We are made what? The righteousness of God. Where? In Christ. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He made him sin for us. Who knew no sin. Look at chapter 6 verse 7. Hallelujah. By the word of truth, by the power of God. By the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We have a arm of righteousness. On every side, we're justified. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. He calls the believer righteousness. What fellowship and righteousness with unrighteousness? Say, I'm God's righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. Chapter 9 verse 9 also, he mentions it. Chapter 9 verse 9 and 10 on giving. Chapter 11 verse 5 or verse 15 too. Then Galatians 2:21. Just write this down. Galatians 2:21. Galatians 3:6. Galatians 3:21. 2:21, 3:6, 3:21. And Galatians 5:5. So righteousness is better understood where? In the epistles. Galatians 2:21. I'll take it one more time. Galatians 3:6. Galatians 3:21. Galatians 5:5. Philippians 1:11. The fruits of righteousness. Yeah, let's look at Philippians 3:9. Philippians 1:11, forget the fruits of righteousness. Then Philippians 3:9. Hallelujah. Watch this. This is vital. Now, you need to understand Philippians 3 now. You need to come from verse 1. Finally, my brethren, Paul is the one that says finally so many times. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you for me, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Watch this. This is vital. So he says, beware of dogs. So that thing is first in the Bible. Amen. What does beware of dogs mean? Beware of evil workers. Beware of the circumcision. He's talking about those who preach the law. He says they are dogs. Wow. That's strong. Beware of those who preach man's righteousness. For we are the circumcision. Glory to God. Which worship God where? In the spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. Now look at what he says. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think, any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, a touching the Pharisee, the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Look at it. Righteousness in the law, blameless. But what things were gained unto me, I want us to read verse 8, 7 together. But what things were gained unto me, those I counted what? So whatever anyone gains under the law is what? A loss in Christ. It's not an addition. Imagine you living all your life with the law of Moses. It's a loss. Profit and loss. You have lost. Because it's irrelevant. It's a loss. But I did it. I wanted to please God. Who asked you to? Do you know there's nowhere in the epistles where we're told to love God? Brethren, I don't love God. Do you love God? You know, they look like a nice sermon. When you hear the kind of sermon, your tears are going to come in your eyes. But nobody asks you to. Hallelujah. Our love for God is a response to His love for us. We are not competing. Let me see whether you can outlove me. Look at it. It says a loss. Yet doubtless, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count but dung. Oh my God, these are words. Dung is actually dung. It means feces. See how it's called? All those walks. Walks. Cover your head. Make sure that your sun is not coming out. Brethren, have you checked your heart? Nice, Amos. Check your heart. If there's any impurity there and the righteous will come, it will hinder you from going. It will be too heavy. Lovely, Simon. There's some people, there's so much weight. When that happens, you will be too heavy to go. So you will drop along the way. Bash! Oshisko. It is a lost dog. Paul calls it feces. In Yoruba, I know what that is. You don't like to say it every day. You say that in Yoruba. If you say that, excuse me. You are eating somebody, excuse me, I'm eating. Hallelujah. So when we're eating real good food, and somebody brings feces, excuse me, we are eating here. But did the Bible say, hey, you are eating good food here. Don't bring feces in here. Hallelujah. This is in your head, that the Yoruba word. Be found in Him. Hallelujah. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But which one? That which is through the faith of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The righteousness which is of God, by what? Faith. Can you see the difference now? So, there's the righteousness of the law. which is your own. And see what Isaiah called it. Say, fill the rack. Can you imagine? He harassed them for 63 chapters. Then 64 says, you know, let's face facts. It's all filled the rags. Those guys didn't try at all. Hallelujah. But thank God for the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. The righteousness of the law. First Timothy has it 4 times. The word righteousness. Titus just once. Hebrews 7 times. James 3 times. 1 and 2 Peter 5 times. 1 John and 2 John 3 times. I'll take it again. 1 and 2 Timothy 4 times. Titus just once. Hebrews 7 times. James 3 times. 1 and 2 Peter 5 times. And 1 and 2 Timothy 3 times. So you will understand righteousness by reading one book. Which book? Book of Romans. All scholars agree that the book of Romans is the doctrine of righteousness. Because that's where you find the word sin. Talked about the most. Sin, faith, righteousness, grace. Sin, faith, righteousness, grace. So, if you hold the Old Testament books in your hands, wait, no, this is wrong. And this is why study is very vital. If you take the Old Testament book from Genesis and Malachi, you are going to have the righteousness which is of faith. I also going to have what? The righteousness which is what? By the law. So you'll have to study it properly. And know when it is righteousness that is of the law. Because both are found there. You know, Moses, you know where Moses offered both the gospel and the law. Moses offered both. And the prophets did the same thing. So the law is for sinners. Faith and righteousness by faith is for believers. Say, I'm a believer. Say, I'm a believer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You go, you get to the throne of heaven, or what? The gate. I don't know where they got the gates from. They say, where are you coming to? Heaven, my Lord. Stay there. Then an angel comes out. Angels that Paul says we will judge. An angel comes out. And then the angel says, what's your name again? Sir? What's your name? Quickly! Brother, are you brother? Sorry, brother Kennedy. Says, are you finally married? Hey, let's face more important things. I saw your name earlier here, but it's no longer here. What's your middle name? Senator. Say, is it S-I-N or S-E-N? Or both, S-E-N. Okay, bring out the scale. So they get to check it. You know, people think like that. Hallelujah. Our scale is the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's of God made unto us righteousness. Hallelujah. So, look at 1 Peter 1. So is there faith in the Old Testament? Yes. Is there faith in the words of the prophet? Yes. Is there also works in it? Yes. You must know where to place the stop. You get it? That's how to study. So when Jesus was saying, the scriptures testify of me, he's not saying everything in there. When he says, woe unto you, for you shall surely die. That's not testifying of Jesus. That's the law. That's the ministration of condemnation. Still out there? Are you still out there? Look at 1 Peter 1. So, even the prophets themselves were searching. The ascension. Look at verse 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which the prophets have inquired. So the prophets themselves, verse 11, also says something. They were inquiring. So the prophets themselves were searching for what? Salvation. Have you searched before? Have you tried to search anything before in life? You type something, and then you get a whole lot of suggestions. So you begin to look at it very well. Which one am I looking for? So, when they were searching, they came in contact with all sorts of things. And thou shalt appear before the Lord empty handed. They are still searching. So calm down. But the Lord's arm is not short to save. There is yet heavy to hear. But your sins have separated you between you and God. They are still searching, so calm down. They are searching. Don't say, my sermon today is, praise the Lord, brethren. My sermon today is, the Lord's arm is not shortened. Shall we pray? Father, open the eyes of your people. Let them see the things in their lives that is hindering their miracles. And you go on alone. The Lord's arm is not short, brethren. His ears are not heavy. Brethren. Book Brennan, they said, you know you are talking to Christians. And the guy who wrote that verse was not talking to brethren. Unfortunately for your sermon. When you talk to brethren, you say, who are sanctified in Christ. Those are brethren. Those ones they are talking to are not, they are Israel brethren. Hallelujah. So brethren, what is making the Lord's hand appear short in your life today? I've preached it before, so I can bring it up on my reservoir for you. You will shake. Those are very easy. Without a prophet, you cannot profit. Those ones will use for breakfast. Amen. A breakfast with a prophet of God will make you have a fast break in life. Shall I continue? We used to call it HNS. House high sounding nonsense. Just again, the Lord's hand is not short. The same guy. The next is not arise and shine for the light is gone. Say one thing now. The glory of the Lord is upon thee. You just said our hands, his hand is short. His light has come again. Bro, speak one. Bro, I'm searching. Hallelujah. That's how to study those books. It's not contradictory. It is just a search. Then if it be in says, oh, we like sheep. Including you, sir. Then leave me alone. I've gone astray. Turned everyone to his own way. Lord, I laid on the iniquity of us. Prophet, you have iniquity. Leave me. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Are you there? So you find the ministry of condemnation in the words of the prophet. You also find the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So that's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. What study means be eager, spudazo. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing or thotomeo means to mine through. You mine through. That means with all these things we're saying that looks like contrary, what do? You mine through it well. Then you get out the word of truth. Don't mix it up. Hallelujah. You are preaching giving. And you're also preaching tithing. You have mixed precious stone with other things. Say, well, someone say, well, but Jesus Christ, there's tithing before the New Testament. I know. Same as animal offering. Isn't that true? Go and build an ark too. And look for Melchizedek. Is it wrong to give tithe?
Nope.
As long as it is your choice. Tithe just means 10%. As long as it's your choice. What about the windows of heaven? Windows of heaven mean rain. Rain. Just the Bible is rain. Rain. Hallelujah. Do you want to give tithe? Nope. You can give it. Call it any name. Tithe, tenth, tote, tax, whatever. Just give. And stop stressing. You have a relationship with God. Are you there? You give based on your relationship with God. Not that it's a requirement upon you. Bros, that's 9.95. Michael, calculate that even. I saw a book, How to Calculate Your Tithe. Is it that bad? Even Moses did not go that far. Moses. Oh, the Hebrews 1:1, are you in church? That's the law of sin and death. Today, 2016. God, who has sundry times in diverse manner, spoke in time past unto the fathers by who? The prophets. So their utterances never contained complete truth. Diverse manners. That's the word polymeros and polytropos. Different periods and different portions of the truth. This one will say small of this. So it's until you put them together that you can see all of the truth. Each one has a portion. A portion. A portion. Just like you said about Isaiah now. The day I'm going to sit on Isaiah will be an entire side, maybe first and second service. Because he has a lot in his book. That Isaiah and Jeremiah. Even Ezekiel. I think you only know it was Jonah that we have let go. He's happy, we quickly dispersed him. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, why is there utterance like that? Because we're asking a question. Did the Old Testament people, did they have the Holy Ghost? Somebody has asked, because he said, the Spirit of God was upon them, not in them. What does it mean to be upon? Like water? No, let's mix that up. Let's explain that today a little bit, and then we proceed next week. Now, there's a concept in Scripture that will help us understand how did God walk with them? How? Did they have the Holy Ghost? I've already explained to you 1 Peter 1. Remember that? Verse 10 to 12. The Spirit testifying of Christ. Remember that? Uh-huh. Not the Spirit of Christ. Because if you have the Spirit of Christ, you become born again. Romans 8:9. We are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in us. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of it. If Christ be in you, so the Spirit of Christ means Christ is in you. And then you have Christ in the Old Testament. If they had Christ in the Old Testament, then Romans 8:14 will be true for them. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, we have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but the Spirit of what? Adoption of sons. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. So they couldn't have had the Spirit of Christ. They had the Spirit testifying of Christ. So, let's wonder, why don't we call the Spirit? The Spirit of God. I've told you, if you hear the Spirit of God, look at what he's talking. Sometimes he's talking about a man. Sometimes he's talking about God himself. You must look at it in context. What is he referring to? Because in Romans 8:14, for example, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, in 15 it says, we have received the Spirit of sons. So, the Spirit of God in Romans 8:14 is the Spirit of who? Sons. So, you must say, what Spirit is he referring to? Is he referring to God or sons of God? Because sons of God, their Spirit is also called the Spirit of God. Are you listening to this? Are you following this? I believe I've taught this over and over again. So, now listen, what did they have? Now, there's a concept that will help us to study this. In Revelation chapter 1, John, and that's because, you know, that book, remember the book of Revelation? Huh? I know I don't teach from there like that. Now, maybe you understand why now, right? There's a concept that John calls the seven spirits of God. Hallelujah. And you will find that concept only in visions. So it's figurative. Don't go and do a series, the seven spirits of God. You always enter error. Every time you teach anything from a vision, it's wahala you are looking for. Because visions themselves require interpretation. And after the interpretation, then explanation. See the journey. Revelation chapter 1 verse 4. John says, John to the seven churches. I want you to listen very well. Because there are two things I want to explain this service. Before I finish this service. And they are so important. So you must pay attention. Revelation 1 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him that was, was and is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Spirits. Plural. Revelation 3:1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he, that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and thou art dead. 3:1, seven spirits of God. 4:5, seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The Revelation 5:6. The seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, that word is pneuma. N-E-U-M-A. A general word for spirits. It's used for demons. It's used for God. It's used for man. It's used for angels. And other things that we're going to see now. Now, without anybody teaching you anything, there are no seven spirits of God. So there must be something John's vision wants to explain. We don't have to be explaining that one. Aha. So the word pneuma, but there's a term there that only close Greek students will see. And it's pneumaton. Just like we have pneumaticus. Now, pneumaton will be of the Spirit. That's why it will be in plural form. Of the Spirit. Pneumaton. The same way we have pneumaticus. Pneumaticus is things of. Pneumaton is just of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why. So the first person that can help us will be the person who wrote this book, John. Did he ever use spirits in plural? Yes, he did. 1 John 4. Hallelujah. Are you there? 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because there are many false prophets are gone out into the world. So spirits, plural, pneumaton, the same. Just put it somewhere, we're coming back there. So where else were spirits used in the plural form? Alright? That's John. First Peter 3, verse 19. By the which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. These are persons. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? 9:23. The spirit of just men made perfect. Okay? So that's human beings. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So here again it's talking about persons. Hebrews 1:7. Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? So can we all agree that this is talking about persons? Huh? Okay. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils. Seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils. So put that somewhere. Then, 1 Corinthians 12:10. Discerning of spirits, the gifts of the Spirit now. Discerning of spirits. Now, that's spirit personalities. So we're going to look at, like I said, the word spirits is used for, when used in plural, sometimes it's for demons. But most of the time it's for demons. Outside is men, then demons. But look at this, and I want you to pay attention to this. Now, put 1 John 4:1, 1 Timothy 4:1, and 1 Corinthians 14:32. Put it together. Let me see whether you can see something common. 1 John 4:1, 1 Timothy 4:1, and 1 Corinthians 14:32. 1 John 4:1, 1 Timothy 4:1, and 1 Corinthians 14:32. I'll wait for you. I'll give you 2 minutes. Look at your Bible now. Not me. Church is Bible study. Don't look at me. 1 John 4:1, 1 Timothy 4:1, 1 Corinthians 14:32. 1 minute, 30 seconds more. One minute more. There's something so common there that thirty seconds more. Ten seconds more. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. Rapture. Who can tell? What was it? You have an idea? What did you see? The work of prophets. Work with prophets. Are you a prophet? Well, you're close, but not. Want to help? It's you, it's you. Don't deny me before men. Same. Prophet. Yeah? Huh? That was? Or something. if I know. Who else want to help me? Yes? Huh? What is it? Deceiving spirit. Ah, even that 1432. Ah, chief, no. Huh? Who can help me? Yep, my Lord. They are always speaking. Look at it. Speaking. Speaking. That's why you were saying it relates with prophets. Because it's about speaking. So when you see it there, it's in speaking. Alright? 1 John 4, speaking. 1 Timothy 4, 1, speaking. 1 Corinthians 14, 32, it says, the spirits of the prophet. Now the spirits of the prophet there, pay attention there, is subject to the prophet. What is the spirits of the prophet? He was talking about the utterance, which is a diversity of the gifts of the spirit. Okay? Utterance. Now, in Isaiah 11 verse 2, so let's bring it home. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel, might, knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Now, that word rest upon him is in Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach. To preach. So, pay attention now. When a fellow functions with the utterance gift, that is not all of the Spirit. That is a gift of the Spirit. Which Peter in the book of Acts regularly called Doron. Something God gave to function with. It was Paul that eventually taught the things of the Spirit as charisma. That which stays in you. But in the book of Acts, Peter stayed with Doria or Doron. That is what God gave. Now, why do we go into all that? In the old covenant, that's the prophets, notice that what was functional in them were their mouths. We could never trust what they saw. We couldn't even trust what they heard. But what they said was what was written as the things concerning Christ. So, their mouths, pay attention here, not their eyes, in Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. The mouth. For example, Luke 1:70 was taken from Jeremiah 23 verse 5 to 6. The mouth. Romans 1, 2 to 3, mouth. Romans 1, verse 2 to 3. What do you mean mouth? Mouth is not talking about this. It's the Greek word stoma, speech, words. Words. What was said? What was said from their spirit? So, the fellow who is not born again can function with God to the degree of his spirit speaking. That is not born again. I discovered that with all of the folks of the Old Testament, their limitation was always speaking. He never went beyond that. All of them. So, these folks spoke. So, whenever you hear the Spirit upon them, you know, the word upon deals with what? Huh? Come on, I've taught you that. The word upon deals with what? Speaking. Upon deals with what? Speaking. So, it's not talking about in their head. Upon is actually in their words. Listen, the Spirit was not in them. It was on them. How? He was in them, but what spirit is what we should look at. So, utterance was granted to their spirit. Utterance. Not the Holy Ghost. Utterance was granted to their spirit. We'll see something in a moment. The first time we will see the word spirit upon is Numbers 11. Moses. So utterance was granted to their spirit. You see someone again, we're going to read about him, who was not, in fact, this one was very godless, yet utterance was given to him, Balaam. Numbers 11. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 16, gather unto me 70 elders, men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take, look at it, and I will talk. Utterance. And I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you. Thou shalt bear it not thyself alone. Numbers 11, 17. Now, look at where it happened. Verse 25. The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him, utterance, and took of the spirit that was upon him. So, how did he start? By utterance. Are you following this? Okay? And gave it unto the 70 elders. It came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, what did they do? And you know what? Cease. So, what did he give them? The Holy Ghost or utterance? The spirit. Did you notice it? Utterance. So don't say they had the Holy Ghost. No. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had utterance. If we're going to talk about it, we'll say they had the spirit of utterance, which is of God. Hallelujah. And that's not being born again, which is of God. Now, let me ask you, which among these 70 elders here was a believer? Talk to me. Huh? Did they speak concerning Christ? Nope. They prophesied. Said great things. It shall be well with you. Your life is a miracle going somewhere to happen. They spoke by power. Hallelujah. It's the prophesy. Look at Balaam. If I look at the Samuel and Saul, the king, 1 Samuel 10:6, you know the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. What did he do? He also prophesied. But without the Holy Ghost? No. That's the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, no. That was utterance. And he prophesied. Amongst many prophets. 1 Samuel 10:6. 2 Kings. 2 Kings 2:15. Notice. The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. That's what they said. Now, had he worked miracles when he said that? Nope. What did he say? When he came out, he said, well, he parted the sea, the waters, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? They heard his voice. They saw the utterance. They heard the utterance. So the Spirit rest upon him. Notice what he said, the Spirit of Elijah, which is of God. Don't forget. Utterances. Yet, look at this. Yet, with these people, go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see, not to say, to see the things which you see, and have not seen them. And to hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. You know, it is to say. Are you listening? But to see and hear. But look at something closely. Verse 35. I will open my mouth and speak in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the world, from the foundation of the world. That's Jesus. Now, notice that these folks, go to Luke 10:22. One more. For all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, to whom the Son will reveal. So the revelation is the Son. You know, John 5 says, the Father does nothing that he doesn't show to the Son. He has revealed all things to the Son. All things to the Son. So, wait for this. Their mouth will speak, but they couldn't see. They couldn't hear. Because if you see and you hear, you are saved. Hallelujah. If you see and hear, then you are saved. Matthew 13. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. What happened to them? Wait for this. What happened to them? In Numbers 11, was it of God? Huh? Was it of God? But was it the Holy Ghost? But was it from the Holy Ghost? Was it from the Holy Ghost? But was that the Holy Ghost? No. It was of the Holy Ghost, but that was not the Holy Ghost. They are utterances, no doubt. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 2. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear I heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, who said this? A prophet said this in Isaiah 64 verse 4. Hallelujah. How can the Spirit of God say, I have not seen, he have not heard? That's an utterance. But look at verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us. By who? Hallelujah. Are you following this? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So why did they not know in verse 9? They did not have the Spirit of God. Are you listening? Are you listening? Look at verse 11. Verse 12. Let's take verse 12 together. Now, everybody, let's go. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know. So when we have the spirit of God, what happens to us? We what? We know. Did they know? Did they know? But did they speak by the spirit? Yep. Did they have the Holy Spirit? No. God gave them utterances. That's what they had. We know. Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Look at 14. Everybody can listen to 14. For the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Are you there? Did they have utterances? Yep. Did they have the Holy Ghost? No. They couldn't have. They couldn't have. So, watch this. Today, for example, if we're going to teach that today, we'll say, well, they had a gift of the Spirit, even though they didn't have a gift. They had utterances that was given to them, dorea, to speak. And they spoke things that they did not know. Just like speaking in other tongues. People speak in other tongues and they don't know what they're saying. But they're speaking anyway. Hallelujah. The difference is that you have the Spirit of God. So as you're speaking, you have interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. So salvation is to know, not to speak. We know, and then we believe. So, the 70 that spoke in Numbers 11, were they believers? Of course not. By Numbers 14 and 13, they had already doubted. Said, look, we're not going to the promised land. We can enter. The same 70 folks. But if they had the Spirit of God, they would not have said that. And that's why, you know what Moses said? Moses said that Caleb and Joshua had another spirit. Is that what he said? So, they had utterances, but they never had the Holy Ghost. And don't forget, these things were functioning in their spirit. In their spirit. When a man has a vision, is it in his body or in his spirit? Exactly. So their spirits could function by speaking. And that was the limit. The prophets of old. Balaam. Balaam in Numbers 23:5. He uttered. He uttered by the Spirit. Balaam. Balaam. Balaam did. He uttered by the Spirit. So, watch this now. Look at Saul and David. 1 Samuel 16. Because they lacked revelation, that's why you have the kind of confusion in what they were doing. The kind of confusion they were doing, they were having. 1 Samuel 16. Verse 14. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. See the problem? I know you don't believe that, do you? Huh? You believe that? Alright. Because in the old covenant, God did everything. And Saul's servants, is that to say pastor, said unto him, pastor, an evil spirit from God is troubling you. They were discerning. His servants. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee. Right? Now, it was a mood he had. To seek out a man who is a cunning player on an app, it shall come to pass. When the evil spirit from God is upon you. Can you imagine? Now, how would they know? By speaking. So that word upon has to do with what? Speaking. That he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. They were suggesting how to take care of their leader. Then they brought in David. Verse 23. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an app and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well. And the evil spirit departed from him. Now look at chapter 18. Verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And what did he do? What did he do? What did he do? This is a very important scripture. He prophesied in the midst of the house. And David was playing, thinking things would change. As the other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. You better run, my guy. And he cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David. That's an utterance. Even to the one with it. And David avoided out of his presence. So, he prophesied. He spoke by a spirit. You see that? Saul. So this deals a whole lot of moves. Look at 1 Kings. 2 Kings 3. So let me quickly say this. So it is deemed from the Old Testament that they believe that all those things came from God. So let me ask you, is it possible for someone to yield to God and yield to the devil at the same time? Sure? Are you very sure? That means they can speak the love of God, the mercy of God, and then speak anger. Did that anger come from God? But it was by prophecy. It was supernaturally said. Then there was a sign that followed it called javelin. 2 Kings 3. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Elisha said, bring me a minstrel. It comes to pass when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said. Utterance again. Utterance. Look at Elijah's case. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. Verse 10 and 14. I have been jealous, very jealous. He's saying, Lord, I'm the only one. He's making an intercession, an accusation against Israel. For the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel are forsaking the covenant. Observe this though. This is one of the reasons why he was never written down with any book. Thrown down that altar, slain that prophet with the sword, and I only am left, and I seek my life to take it away. What did he want? And God said, you go stand somewhere, and let's see. So the earthquake, he went there. God was not there. What's that showing you? Huh? He's not there. You know fire? Say God was not there. Fire? The fire that he used to kill prophets of Baal, and God was not there. Eh? I thought it's send down fire. Say God was not there. Earthquake? He wasn't there. whirlwind, the signs of his ministry. And a still, small voice. So this fellow must have been misled for a long time. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Then he repeated it again. I have been jealous. He still was not taking notes. He wanted to take my life. The Lord said to him, look at this. Verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed. He didn't know. See how Paul explained this. Romans 11. Oh, I like this. God has not cast away his people, verse 2, which he foreknew. Was it not what the scripture said of Elijah? How he makes intercession to God against Israel. Saying, Lord, they have beat thy prophets. Killed thy prophets. They have beat down thy altar. I'm left alone. And they seek my life. What's here the answer of God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. While he was speaking destruction and condemnation, God was speaking salvation. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So these are folks, you cannot rely on what they were saying. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? Imagine Elijah's wind, his fire. He said God was not there. So when he was bringing out fire upon the prophet of Baal, you think God was the one doing it? Of course not. So fire moves. You know, fire there is supernatural. And it wasn't God. Hope you are following this. You know, it looked nice. When they asked you to do the same thing, you say, don't you know the spirit that you are of? These folks were not born again. The best they had was utterance. That's the best. And then faith in Christ. In a promissory note. Are you listening? Glory to God. Some of you are shaking your head. Why? Are you trusting Elijah? What are you doing? Yeah. It's a favorite song of mine. God of Elijah, send down fire. Can you see? The God of Elijah that you say to send down fire is not the God that you and I serve. He was not in the wind. He was not in the fire. He was not in the earthquake. The interesting part was this was the last stages of his ministry. Let's move further. So, when David said in Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me, he's referring to utterances. Hallelujah. What's in the new covenant? Thanks be unto God. I said, thanks be unto God. Jeremiah 31. Let me see if you're learning something. Come on. Are you learning something? Alright. You must know how to study the prophets. Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. Verse 33. I will put my law in their inward parts. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll write it in their hearts. And I'll be their God. Verse 33. And they shall be my people. They shall teach no more look at this. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. Hallelujah. From the least of them unto the greatest of them. So what comes in the new covenant is knowledge. You know. You know. Say, I know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Imagine after telling them the soul that sinners shall die. You know what I'm saying? And it's a psalm of the soul that shall sin shall die. Yes, shall die. The same person. And he's now saying, I will sprinkle clean water. I will cleanse you. Ezekiel 36. I will take away the stone out of your flesh and I will give you an out of flesh. This is life. Hallelujah. I said, this is life. Hallelujah. I will put my spirit within you and make you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments. That's my discernments, my knowledge, and do them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So what do we have in the new covenant? We know. Someone say we know. We know. How do you know the Holy Spirit? You know. Have the work of the Holy Ghost. You know. You know, Jesus, pay attention to this one. You know, Jesus, in teaching the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15 and 16, do you know that he didn't mention power once? If he did in John 14, 12 and 13 about his name, he spoke more about knowing. To know. To know. Look at this. John 14. You learning something? You learning something here? John 14. 16. And I pray the Father, he to give you another covenant that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Neither know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Go to 16, quickly. I have yet many things to say unto you, verse 12. You cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, whatsoever I shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He will be in you. Hallelujah. John 4:14 says, it shall be in you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So the issue here is you have a nature of knowledge. Hallelujah. A nature of knowledge. We'll look at this later. So go to Luke 9. Luke 9. Luke 9. When they told Jesus to call down fire for them. So that no, they should allow them to call down fire. Then he says, know ye not. You know not. Sorry, not know ye not. That would have been a question of something they had known before. You know not what manner of spirit you are of. Hallelujah. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Who did John say God gave his Holy Spirit to? Jesus. Look at it, John 3. He never gave his Spirit to the prophets. John 3. Is somebody learning something here? John 3. John, who is the apostle, the prophet of prophets? John. John 3. He is speaking. He says in 33, he had received this testimony. He that has given his testimony to his seal, had God says God is true. For he whom, hallelujah, look at this, he whom God has sent, speaks the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure. Hallelujah. So there were measures before now. But to the Son, he gave the Spirit. Not to any prophet. And that's why today in Christ, all who are sons of God have the Spirit of truth that guides into all of the truth. Are you still there? So the Spirit of God does not destroy. Is this clear? Is this clear? I was saying it yesterday. I said, imagine if you put everywhere in the Old Testament, they say, God did, God did. Put Jesus there, you get fun, you feel funny. And Jesus destroyed, And Jesus, Jesus said, Jesus cannot do it. Only God can. Jesus cannot do it. Hallelujah. But he is God that became flesh. Hallelujah. Are you still there? All right, quickly. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. The Old Testament, for example, is called the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 2. So, what was working in that dispensation was what? The law of sin and death. Not the Spirit of life, where? In Christ Jesus. The law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 3, quickly. Just read through verse 5 to 11. He calls that Old Testament. He calls it the letter that killeth. In verse 7, he calls it the ministration of death. In verse 9, he calls it the ministration of condemnation. That's what he calls it. But you know, the truth is this. You will find condemnation there, and you will find Christ there. But Do you know why many won't find Christ there? Paul explains it. He says in verse 13, but not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remained the same veil, taken away where? In the reign of the Old Testament, that veil is done away where? In Christ. So we remove the veil, and we see the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? So we must know what God didn't do and what God didn't say. We must know what He did and what He did not do. And the only person that can clarify for us is Christ. Are you there? Because He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Hallelujah. He's the only one. And you see, He couldn't even do it in the four Gospels. He said, I have yet many things to say to you. You can't bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Because of my time, I wanted to share with you Sodom and Gomorrah. And let you see, God had no hand in it at all. It's from the Bible, we are going to see it together. Some guys have said, it's homosexuality that made God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abba. Abba. One guy put on Facebook. There's someone in Utah, I think, they had a small earthquake. Guy said it's because they are doing, no, not Utah. One place like that. He said it's because of homosexuality that God is revisiting. That's a foolish person. Hallelujah. Homosexuality is a sin. No doubt. Don't say it's my choice. No, it's a sin. It's a sinful choice. Alright? But it's not the principality and power of sins. It's not at the right hand of sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, God just brought fire. Fire. And brimstone. So go. I'll show you next week. Praise God. Amen. We look at it and the flood. Flood. Say, God just poured water on the earth. I'm angry. I'm angry with these people. Release water. Release water now. Hallelujah. And then the same God who we thought released water now comes in Isaiah 54. I will no longer do it again. I'm sorry. Something is wrong somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah 54. They are closing. I have yet many things to say. But I'll wait till next week. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. You know, if all the prophets were perfect, Christ would not have come. Right? The Holy Ghost would not have been given. But because they were not perfect, He gave us His perfect revelation. Are you still there? And He, the gift of God to us is Christ. And the gift of Christ to the church is the Holy Spirit. Say, I have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So we don't just have gifts. We have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look at this, Isaiah 54. Thanks be unto God. In little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. Abba. Verse 8. In a little wrath. Have you observed that as the Bible kept being written, they kept saying that His anger is but a moment. A moment. Those guys are just as confused. His anger is but for a moment. The child did not want to leave the fact that he doesn't have that anger. It's but a moment. Women may endure for tonight. You cannot blame them. There are still many of us, not in this church I believe, who have been taught the New Testament. And those things still come out in your speech. You have the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of truth. You have been hearing God's word for years. And you see some things like, I thank God for His presence today. What's His presence?
it still comes out. You see, says things. You know, it will come out. So imagine those that didn't have the Spirit of Truth. They were not attending the right church. They didn't know the difference between the devil and God. You can't blame them. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. It clarifies everything. Everything. I said everything. Jesus showed us that God can rescue without having victims of the rescue. You know the way, what's his name now? I used to watch Rambo and Schwarzenegger and Red Scorpion. They want to go and get one guy and they will kill everybody to show that they will rescue the fellow. You know, God will rescue without anyone losing his life. He did it for Peter. He did it for Paul. And not one person died. Why? This is the new covenant. Praise God. Satan was not allowed in the deliverance process. In the times of the prophet, as God is delivering them, they are bringing Satan in the same. All things working together for their good. Because there's anger. Just like Moses. He just couldn't fathom Israel just leaving Egypt like that. He had to close up the sea. Hey! That day. Anger. He looked at Israel. You don't want to believe the gospel. But you write down the law. You know, he now said, seal it up. He said, all of you say amen. You know why? Because he was not going to go to the to Canaan land. To Canaan. Same, sir. He wasn't going to go there. Then he said, you are going, I will not be with you. Write these laws down that will guide you. I showed you that last year. The law of sin and death. When they asked Jesus, he said, Moses gave you that law because of the hardness of your heart. In the beginning, it was not so. Death never came from God. Death came by sin. God has only life and light. Hallelujah. In Him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above. Down from the Father of light with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I don't know God through Isaiah. I don't know Him through Elijah. I know Him in Christ. Glory to His name. I close here. Stand to your feet. Give God praise. Worship Him. Speak in other tongues. Bless His name.